Good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody today?
Just peachy.
That involves the whole world of peachy right there. From near there to yonder there.
And all parts in between.
Just the ticklish bits.
Ah, there you go.
Alright, yes, we can endeavor to persevere and proceed. It's a lot of pee popping here.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. Boy, there's a lot of fish out there right now.
A lot of fish.
Crazy amounts of fish.
The scariest part is how much they're moving around. I mean, I'm hearing this guy crushed them here, and then the next day another guy goes there and says, I didn't catch anything, and almost emulating what the other guy did. It's just kind of funny.
Well, we've been going through that for, what, a few years now?
Yeah.
Where it's basically slot machine fishing.
You know, what's weird is we're looking up the water temps earlier today, and Pensacola was like 3 degrees warmer than us.
Yeah, but now they got that front came down, that should change now.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will, but it's just kind of weird because that doesn't happen very often.
No, they're usually just a few degrees cooler. But now they're warmer than us, and the whole world's in a wacky place.
Yeah.
But I still try and take people back because I can remember more than two Facebook posts ago. And when I was a kid, we learned there was the Ice Age. And then there was a real warming trend, and that's when the Vikings took over everything. They left the Netherlands, and they, you know, raiding in Europe, conquered England, Greenland, Iceland, Canada, and for as far as we know, were the first ones to settle in northern United States. And then we had what was called the Mini Ice Age, which lasted through to the 1800s. And you know, so, and maybe the 1700s, I guess, I don't know. But we had that mini ice age, and that's why we don't all speak Norwegian. Otherwise, right. Columbus would have got his butt kicked for coming over and messing with the Vikings.
Yeah, he wouldn't have stood a chance.
He would have never stood a chance against those Vikings, that's for sure.
But, yeah, no, it's been interesting with the fishing, because, I mean, they're just... It's going to make for a fun report because there's some areas that are still void and then some areas where it's like, holy mackerel, yeah. I think almost B.B. King could catch a fish in those spots.
Yeah, and that whole rant I did was just about, of course the climate's changing, you freaking idiots. It's always been changing.
Yeah.
So, basically, though, with all this going on, we have a ton of redfish around the area. One of the big tournaments is going on this weekend, and the guys are just whaling redfish.
Yeah.
And more snook than we've had in forever. But not a lot of trout around. But we've gotten quite a bit more here in the last few weeks. Guys are catching trout, it seems like. So it's been an interesting ride this year.
Yeah.
You know, with all the different stuff over the last calendar year from... last year today till today.
Yeah.
That's the year I'm talking about. I'm not talking about since January and whatever. But boy, what a weird and crazy ride with lots of fish, no fish, lots of fish, not much, lots and not much. And it's still today to me, it tends to be a bit perplexing. But to end the perplexment?
I don't know if that's the right word. How about a real word?
To defragment the puzzle.
Okay. Take it apart?
Yeah, to break it down.
Okay.
The Peace River System.
Peace River.
Where we'll start.
Been scattered a few reports up there. The main thing that's been happening is there are snook starting to move up there in better numbers. Hearing of some assorted sizes from 20 inches to 40 inches. Harbor Heights, above the Navigator, Shell Creek Dam, a couple few redfish. Most of those redfish that I'm hearing about up there are in that lower what would normally be a slot limit, like 24, 25 inch range. I guess that's the upper slot limit. So upper slot limit fish. And then there has been still a few juvenile tarpon moving around up there, but talk about those fish just kind of doing a disappearing act this last couple weeks.
Oh, and sorry about last week. I just got the computer up and running again. So we'll get all the shows loaded and the fishing report will be up. Every few years I go through that where I'm here till 11 o'clock at night trying to get everything working. Then I had it all. And then I sat here for what, 2 hours today trying to get it figured out?
At least, yeah.
So anyway, hours and hours and hours so that somebody can go, well, you didn't do your report. What the hell's wrong with you? Sorry.
Life.
Yeah, life keeps getting in the way. And computers. Why would all of a sudden everything just go wrong in a computer? Then you got to get all your antivirus program off, put all new antivirus programs on, because whatever virus or whatever it was infected your antivirus program. The only way to get rid of it is to loading new stuff, turn that off, load new stuff in, delete the old stuff, reload all fresh new programs, and then they find it. But usually after the second or third one. The first one won't find it. Alright, I-75.
Been some nice black drum there, some good snook activity, and just a few more redfish, especially on that northbound side. You know, that's been pretty decent, and there's a whole lot of little snook mixed in with those redfish on that northbound side around that sawgrass. So it's been not too bad. There's even been a couple guys saw a couple small sharks cruising there on that flat, so I'm guessing they were probably juvenile bull sharks. It's that time of year when they definitely move around up there.
Alright, 41 bridge.
Oh, let's see, you got snook at night through the early mornings. A couple of juvenile tarpon being seen but not hooked. Lots of black drum. And then there's been a couple of trout that were caught off the new park standing on the new little docks there fishing towards the power lines. And then there's been quite a few mullet cruising through there off and on throughout the nighttime, which is waking up other fish, but people are having a very hard time hooking into whatever they are. They're just hearing cannonballs going off as they get close to that shadow line of the bridge.
Hmm. Lashley Pier.
They got nothing there this week. Unfortunately, pretty quiet.
Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore's got a couple of black tips and a couple of small bull sharks. And then there's actually been some snook being caught there the last several nights. The guy was over at a different spot and said, well, this is a drag. Went over to Bayshore just to kill some time and ended up getting into several snook and heard a lot of them popping throughout the whole flats.
Okay, the Port Charlotte Canal System.
Some big jacks. A handful of nice snook.
Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, give me just a second. We'll get it back here.
Didn't shut down, did it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it took us so long to be able to get back here to do this. It's just going to take me. Sometimes things aren't always as easy as they seem.
Gotcha. That's the joys of computers,
okay.
Once again.
I'm ready.
Big jacks. The snook are starting to turn on pretty good. There's been some really, really good strong outgoing tides in the evening, or late night, early mornings. And then there's also been a handful of redfish, some nice black drum, and snapper are starting to make quite a bit of a comeback. The water's getting really clear, especially behind my house. But even talking to some of the people fishing over at the beach complex and some of the other canals, the visibility is unbelievable.
Let me see if my website will work enough for me to get on it. It's been sketchy at best.
Yeah. I think the coolest part about all this, you know, it's like it's a weird season, you know, September is usually that month where the rains start to really slow down. You know, week one, it's like every other day. Week two, it's every third day. Week three, it's like every fourth or fifth day. And then by week four, it's, you know, once a week maybe. And this year, boom, light switch, no rain.
Down to 2 feet in Arcadia, 354 cubic feet per second coming down, which averages 1,230 at this time of year.
Wow.
So 3, 6, 9, 12. We got 25% of the water coming down the river that we would normally have.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's quite a bit less. I'm just checking to see if the... Yeah, the water temps are up. Okay, I got that back. Yeah, Key West is 86.4. It's supposed to be 82. Naples, 82.9. Supposed to be 81. St. Pete, 84.4. It's supposed to be 78. Pensacola, 85.6. It's supposed to be 74.
Right. 11 degrees difference.
Yeah, Pensacola is 10, 11 degrees warmer than it should be. 6, 7 degrees in St. Pete. Naples is only 1 degree off. Not even, it's 1/10 of a degree off. Naples is right on the money. Oh, no, it's 1 degree higher. So Naples is 1 degree off. And what's weird is the Keys are actually warmer than they're supposed to be, but Naples is right on the money. What that tells you is the fish could be anywhere.
Yeah.
That's the hard part about when the water temperatures get all screwy is it's not easy to track where the fish are going. And that's what we have some of the hard times with. And the reason we have the water temperatures on there is to help track where the kings might be or the tarpon or all these different fish that travel up and down the coast, including the redfish.
Right.
And if the temperature is way warmer than it should be up north of us, and we're normal water temperatures, are they going to come down to us quick? And we're seeing kings out there, which we will get to in the report. Meantime, the Mac River area.
Mayaca's got some snook starting to move into the cutoff a little bit, and also over in the Tippecanoe Bay area, and there has been some redfish. You know, the redfish have mainly been scattered, but one guy got into a school of them right there by Hog Island. So they weren't giant fish, but they were in the like 30-inch range according to him. So that's
big.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's backtrack. Go to Eljo Bean.
Eljo Bean's been snook. A lot of snook moving in there at the bridges, especially at night. Been some decent jack activity early in the morning and off and on throughout the daytime. Snapper is starting to make a little bit of a better comeback. And then I've still heard of a couple of juvenile tarpon right there around the bridges, but no consistency to them at all. Lots of little bait there, though. Guys are seeing all the little schools of fry dumpling on the surface.
Yeah, it's amazing how much bait is in the area right now.
Been pretty incredible. It's kind of a nice breath of fresh air compared to the last several years.
And I made the mistake of actually trying to explain to people what was going on with the bait and telling them, you know, well, this is going to save us. We'll keep us in bait, you know, for the next several years. And they said, well, how do we catch them? First thing they want to know is, how do I net them up? How do I catch them?
Yeah.
I'm like, but if you do that, we won't have any.
Right.
This is something that I didn't expect to happen. I'm seeing it happen. I believe it's happening. It seems to be there. And instead of enjoying the fact that nature found a workaround to get away from the human interference with it, all they could think about is, oh, let me go kill them.
Right.
I want to kill them all. I want to use them for bait. I'm like, really? That's what you got out of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, more, you know, rape and pillage.
It's the last two passenger pigeons in the world. Can I see my Red Rider gun?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, we don't. Look at the two pigeons going along. Give me my BB gun. You know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, everybody should be able to get bait and do stuff. But unless we leave some bait alone, and I'm not going to talk about where they are and what they're doing and why they're doing it anymore. Because I learned the hard way that you can't get people to understand that if you don't have some that you leave alone, you won't have any at all.
Right. Not content with just a little bit. They want it all.
Yeah. Let's kill it all so we don't have any at all. So
yeah.
South Gulf Cove canals.
Guys have been catching a lot of Mayan cichlids in there. There's been a handful of snook being caught, and then quite a few guys buying shiners going back in there and catching some of the bass, but they've been catching more snook and an occasional juvenile tarpon. One guy caught a nice jack while trolling through there, heading on his way out. I'd have to guess by his picture it was in that six-ish pound range. Wasn't a giant, but compared to what we've seen in the last several years, it was a pretty good fish. And he was stoked because it was his very first jack and first fish he ever caught trolling in saltwater, because he's new to the area. So he was happy. It was good to hear that kind of story with him. Always hearing the excitement in their voice when they're explaining to you what they caught and how they did it is always fun. Makes you kind of feel warm and fuzzy inside about it.
Yeah, we had a guy who really grew up Southwest Florida, had never been into the store before, and I was just kind of surprised, but you know, he lives over by the coast and just never comes over to Port Charlotte really, so it was kind of neat, you know, seeing somebody who had never been in the store and, you know, what they were thinking about stuff and all that. And a little different because he's out in the Englewood area, and I was telling him, you know, about the Englewood Fishing Club. I says, you know, this would probably be really good for you to go to the Englewood Fishing Club. You live right out there. They meet second Thursday of each month, 6:30 at night. Really nice people, and some fish all the time, some don't hardly fish at all. Get a really nice mixture of people, right, you know, in that fishing club. You're like, oh, well, maybe, but I'm kind of working, and I'm like, why'd you bring it up?
Right.
You know, like the guy who, you know, I almost kind of a little rude to him, because what he was doing, I knew I could really, really help him, but I wanted to find out if he'd actually listen.
Mm-hmm.
If he was actually wanting to learn something or just keep doing what he'd always done and keep having the problems he always had. And he didn't get mad at me for being a little rude, and he just kind of went on, and I walked him through a whole different thing, and he was like freaked out.
Right.
And it was pretty awesome. Really nice guy. But I had had such great rapport with that guy, you know, that I broke my kind of little rule, and I just went to try and help somebody do something, and they didn't give it, you know, it's like, waste your time. All right, the West Wall.
West Wall's got a lot of redfish on it. I mean, there's redfish from the tower all the way down to Cape Hayes. Gentlemen fishing out of Eljo Bean fishing that West Wall and been kicking tail over there, and he said there's very few snook. He said the snook that he's seeing are good size, but he's not hooking hardly any snook at all. It's just all redfish. Most of them are under the bushes. A few of them are out on the flats a little bit, but just pretty much bush fishing, and he's throwing gulps, and he was throwing cup mullet and doing pretty darn good on all the above. And he said the assorted sizes had been amazing, because he's catching one that's a 16-incher, and then on the next cast under the same spot, a 28-incher, then another one 30 inches. So he said it's kind of cool to see them all over the map as far as sizes go.
Yeah. Kind of neat. Mm-hmm. All right. Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes has got some Spanish mackerel on it, around it, all the way, kind of surrounding it. Been some small bluefish on it. Couple schools of small bluefish. One gentleman in today said he hasn't seen bluefish like that since he left Jersey. He said they were all small, but him and his grandson had a field day. He thought they were all ladyfish, and they were nothing but blues. That's all him and his grandson caught.
Okay, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
Bull Bay and Turtle Bay both have a lot of redfish scattered throughout the whole thing, and some really, really nice snook. The snook are moving, though. You go to a spot, there's a stack of them. Hour later, there's a zero there. And then back again 2 hours later, same, a whole bunch more fish moved in. So they're definitely moving a lot. And then there's been a few trout inside of Bull Bay. And then the big, big reds over on the, what would that be, the northwest entrance. They've been getting those bigger redfish coming through there. I heard of some big snook, but those fish have been hit or miss as far as consistency. They're seeing them, but not hooking any of them. Most of the snook they're catching are 30 inches and under.
Okay, and that's going to take us to Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel. Lots of Spanish mackerel, handful of black tips, a couple of bull sharks. Basically, from Cape Hayes Reef to just past Danger Reef, even as far over to as far as Devilfish. Been some ladyfish scattered through there, along with, I think I said the Spanish already. They're just kind of peppered throughout that whole area because of all the little bait fish. It's all over the place.
Possible bluefish?
Yeah. Yeah, very possible. The ones that were right there on Cape Hayes, that guy was...
Probably
have you ever heard,
of
schools of bluefish like that before? Because I've never heard of schools of bluefish. I saw everyone I've ever caught is like one here, two here, three here, one here.
The problem is they started out only in one canal, only in the fall.
Right.
Up in the Ackerman.
Mm-hmm.
You could go in the Ackerman when they still had the locks there, and you would catch a couple little bluefish every once in a while.
Right.
And then you got to be more regular. And then all of a sudden we started hearing about some in the harbor a little bit. And then they went into PGI canals and other places. And then all of a sudden they're down in Cape Hayes and the reefs down there. I don't know if, like, somebody came down on vacation from Jersey with a couple in a cooler and dumped them in the canal or something.
Right.
I mean, it's the weirdest thing ever to literally watch them go from only being caught every once in a while in one particular canal all the way back up here in the top of the harbor.
Right.
In Port Charlotte. Not the deep PGI canals, just one canal in Port Charlotte, the Ackerman, and then now see them going around, and now we've got schools of bluefish.
Right. Yeah.
The one thing we don't have is the giant ones. Now, one guy back in off Alligator Creek,
I remember that,
caught about one that was close to 40 inches.
Yeah, that was giant.
And that's
giant.
The only big one, but it was skinny as heck.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside that one big one, that's the only big one I've ever heard caught here.
Yeah, I've never ever heard of one big except
but
for that.
We've never heard of squirrels caught here either.
True.
So, over the next few years, we might be looking at some major schools of bluefish coming in, you know.
Be kind of fun.
It would be awesome, but who would have guessed?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Gaspilla Sound.
Redfish on both sides, the backside of Boca Grande, all of Whidden Bay, all the way up to the Placida Trestle, and then the snook are stacked all over the place throughout there, too. And then some bull sharks and some black tips, especially over there on the Whidden Bay side, closer towards the intercoastal in like 4 to 6 feet of water. And then I'm getting a few reports of some trout, a few ladyfish, an incidental Spanish mackerel. But the redfish seem to be dominating that whole area throughout there because there's been schools popping up here and there, and then a lot of individual fish out on the flats and up along the bushes. It's been a pretty incredible couple of weeks over in that area. And once again, the water is very, very clear over there, so if you're real observant, paying attention, moving slow and quietly, you're going to see a lot of life throughout that whole area.
Yeah, I'm just correcting some of my spelling stuff. All right. Placida Pier.
Placida's had some nice snook at night, a couple of big redfish at night, been an occasional shark of a black tip, a bonnet head, and a bull. And then another guy's been doing fair to okay on pompano. He's moving around a lot, but fishing mostly the entire trestle system. And then there's also been another guy who caught a whole bunch of lane snapper 2 days in a row off the trestle itself. And he showed me pictures, and they were 10, 11-inch lane snapper, which was kind of shocking to see numbers of them. There's always a few oddballs being caught there, but he caught a dozen or better.
Yeah, I've actually heard, and I didn't put it in the report, but there's been some caught up in the harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, up on the top end, and it's just so sporadic. It wasn't something I felt like I could put in the report for the 41 bridge or the reef or anything. But
right.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a whole bunch of lane snappers. Not huge, 8 inches, but decent size for a lane.
Right, absolutely.
All right, Lemon Bay?
A lot of redfish, especially up there towards Ski Alley and the Stump Pass area. And then the snook have been really incredible. Just inside of Stump Pass, especially working your way inside Stump Pass to the south. All those little islands, mangrove keys and stuff like that, been holding some good snook. I've heard of 2 legal gags that were caught somewhere up there in that Stump Pass area. But the guy was very vague because he did it one day and then did one the next day in a completely different spot. So, kind of cool to always hear about those legal inshore gags.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 24-plus inch fish, so that's saying something. Undersized gags, that's pretty common. But legal gags inside, that's something to write home about. That's pretty cool. He said he skipped some pompano too, but he didn't catch any. He tried.
The Pier, Anger Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
I haven't had a single report this week over there.
Venice Jetties.
A lot of big snook, Spanish mackerel, a few big bull reds. One guy hooked 2 tarpon there at night while snook fishing. And then the mangrove snapper are starting to move back in, but just not hot and heavy, but noticeable increase. It's mostly been on that outgoing tide there for the snook at night. A lot of guys seeing fish during the daytime, but nobody's hooking anything that I've heard of as far as bigger snook.
Okay. Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, that's a really scattered report because of the wind. I got two decent reports that I trust. One guy got into some yellowtail, mangrove snapper, and red grouper in 75 feet of water last Saturday, which was the only calm day. And then another gentleman was out yesterday, and he got beat up a little bit, but he made it out to 15 miles and caught one gag grouper. Had some amberjack swimming around the boat, but hooked 2 king mackerel. One of them got eaten by a barracuda. The other one was like 25 inches, and he just let it go.
King mackerel, what were there?
Barracuda. There was some amberjack also being seen, but not hooked. But the barracuda ate his one king mackerel.
Okay. Do a spell check on that because I have no idea how to fix that. Okay. Barracuda.
Yep. That sounds right.
That didn't give me a little red line, so I'm okay. Booker and Pass.
Snook. Lots of snook. Some really big redfish at night. There's been quite a few Spanish mackerel and ladyfish moving throughout the whole thing, and then the mangrove snapper bite's starting to pick back up just a little bit. And a couple of small bulls, a couple of black tips. One guy saw a small hammer go by about 6 foot while he was out there drifting along looking for a mangrove snapper. But the Spanish mackerel have been pretty decent size, 20, 22 inchers. Pretty peppy ones.
Like I say,
it's been a little breezy through there, so it's like pick and choose your tides because some of it's white capping.
Yeah, you want to, if the wind's blowing out of the west, you want an incoming tide. If the wind's blowing out of the east, you want an outgoing tide.
Yeah.
Because if you have the wind blowing in and the tide going out, you are in for a ride in the world's biggest washing machine. The water just goes up and down and up. The waves don't roll. one way to the other, because the current's going one direction, the wind's coming the other way, and it just, it's
not
sloppy, sloppy washing machine. Captiva Pass?
Captiva Pass has had a couple of legal gag grouper caught in it, some nice Spanish mackerel, a couple of nice black tips, and then the snooker still moving around from the beach going to the inside. And then a guy got a couple of small whiting and a couple pompano right outside the front on the northwest corner, I guess. What's at the bottom side of Cayo Costa?
Yeah. How about 17th Street?
Got nothing.
Okay. Middle Beach?
Some jacks. A handful of small snook. Small ladyfish. Couple of pinfish and a couple of lizard fish. Nothing really gangbusters, but it sounds like that guy did almost the same thing that we did out there at Boca.
Sanibel?
I've got nothing down there.
Okay, Matt Lachey.
Lots and lots of snook and redfish scattered both north and south of Matt Lachey. Off the Matt Lachey pier itself, they're getting some snook, especially in the early mornings and at night. And some mangrove snapper started to move back in there. And then one guy said that he saw some juvenile tarpon around the Indian fields while fishing for redfish, but never hooked any, even though he made a couple half-hearted effort casts to them.
All in all, not too bad.
No.
Pine Island Sound?
Well, redfish and snook are the dominant ones. They're all over on all the little islands scattered from Patricio all the way down to St. James City. And just work the shorelines real slow. Water's super, super clear, so sight fishing some of those fish is relatively easy. And then there's also been quite a few Spanish mackerel out there in some of those deeper parts and channels. The water is unbelievably clear for everyone that keeps coming in. Both people have been pre-fishing for this tournament this weekend, and just Joe Fisherman talking about how crystal clear it is.
Yeah, well, side effect of no rain.
Right.
What is brackish water? It's simply salt water that's been diluted by rainwater runoff, specifically from rivers, canals, things like that. Rain falling on the harbor is not going to change the salinity of it, unless you get like 2 feet in an hour. But hundreds of miles of watershed where you've got tens of thousands of acres draining off into creeks, ditches, rivers, and bringing it down, that's what makes the water here brown, that's what makes it brackish. But it's basically, without that, it's just salt water. So if you're coming to Florida here in the next, you know, month, you're going to have really the same water that you have in the Gulf of Mexico. There's not going to be any difference. It's not going to be brackish. It's not going to be any of that. It's just going to be salt water. So during the summertime, we have brackish water. In the wintertime, we just have salt water.
All right.
And people say, well, it's brackish. It's something different. No, only when it's raining.
Yeah, exactly.
So... no, and yes. Yes, it's different, but only when it rains. But no, it's not different, because it's the same stuff, only diluted down. But, good question. How do you answer that question?
Yeah.
Like the question I got on the radio show this morning.
Oh.
Like, and it went through the thing. He says, well, you talked a little too long, but, you know, that was okay. But it was like, what did you want me to do? Say it in half?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, give you a really crappy Reader's Digest version of that. Can't do it.
Yeah,
you got to give detail to some of that stuff. I mean, you can't go from A to D to Z. You got to fill in the voids in between to make it make sense.
Yeah, it's the only way it works. If you go A, D, J, Q, Z, you missed a bit of it there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that looks good. I think I'll get a drink, too.
Right. This dry weather's killing me. My sinuses, I feel like weird.
Headaches.
Sinuses, headaches, dry mouth, my fingernails are like cracking, you know, get that dry weather thing.
Mine are just dirty.
Yeah, I get that too, but just weird. I mean, a month of no rain just really messes with you. It's amazing what your body kind of gets used to as far as the humidity around here. And then, hey, I went from jungles to desert, like right now.
Overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, within a week, I was used to cutting the grass and having to stop, clear the chute out on the lawnmower, stop, clear the chute on the lawnmower. You have to go really slow, take a little tiny bit, because even at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the grass was soaking wet.
Right.
Because, you know, I haven't had a lot of time, so my grass is up like 8-10 inches high when I finally get around to cutting it, or 6 inches high. And went to cut it, and I had to cut it twice because it was blowing so much dust that the grass was just swirling around, not even being cut off.
Right.
It was like, damn. Yeah. And I was covered in dust.
Yeah. Need a mask.
And that was a week after the rain stopped.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
But the week before, if I would have went to try and cut it, it would have been a nightmare globbing up.
Yeah.
Then when I went to cut it, literally the wind would catch it, and 2-3 houses down, my grass was landing. Okay, Jug Creek Shoals.
There's actually been a couple schools of redfish that have been hitting over there off and on. And then a couple of Spanish mackerel being caught over there, because there's a ton of little tiny fry scattered all over that area. It's been pretty impressive over that whole north end of Pine Island, Jug Creek, and working its way all the way down to the intercoastal side. Been a lot of guys fishing it.
All right, what about Burnt Store Two Pines?
There's mostly been snook with a few redfish over there. The redfish seem to get a little bit better as you work your way closer to Two Pines, but the snook activity has been incredible. And then there has been some pompano on the bar off and on just south of there, mixed in with a few ladyfish. So it's been pretty decent. I haven't heard of any of the wade fishermen down there yet, but I'm sure they're about due to start.
And now's the time of year you would think they would go there, because you can walk that whole trail without getting, you know, up to your waist in mud.
Right.
And it's just weird. When it's really rainy, that's when you hear about everybody going there.
Yeah.
Okay, east side.
East side's got scattered redfish and snook on the inside of the bar around all the islands. Mostly they're catching them on crabs, cut mullet, cut ladyfish, and frozen shrimp. It's been pretty impressive over there. And then on top of the bar and just on the outside of the bar, I've heard of a couple of trout here and there. Most of them have been on the smaller side with the occasional, wow, where'd you come from? You know, 20-22 inch fish. And then the bonnet heads have been over there sporadically cruising around on top of the bar. So it's got a lot of life on it.
Okay. Alligator Creek.
Been some big jacks cruising through there. But honestly, most of the better fishing I've been hearing about has been inside Burnt Store Isles and Burnt Store Meadows, that whole area. Big black drum, some juvenile tarpon, some snook are starting to really move inside there, or at least starting to cooperate now. And then I've actually had a couple people tell me about all the otters they've been seeing lately. One guy said he saw a group of three, another guy said he saw a group of three, another guy said he saw two. So that's kind of neat when you start hearing about that, because it's almost, I mean, you just don't hear about otters as much as you used 2 years ago. You know, it's not a fish, but it's still an interesting water-dwelling animal.
Well, I put on here, you know, yes, and a lot of otters, yes, they look cute, but remember they have big teeth.
Right. It's true.
Well, in 2019, people think life is a Disney movie, and, you know, animals are out there having tea parties, and, you know, they're cute and cuddly, and why would they ever hurt you? You're being nice to them. Because they're a wild animal, and they just want to bite you and make you go away.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You're nothing like me, so leave me alone. Everything that looks like you wants to kill me or has killed my family members, so leave me alone.
Right. Ponce de Leon Park.
Some black drum, some nice jacks, mangrove snappers starting to move back in a little bit more, and then also quite a few snook moving into there. I've heard of only a couple of redfish, but the redfish were very big. Other than that, not a whole lot else, but it's been on the upside of things, so it's been pretty good.
Alright. Only one spelling correction to make. That was good.
Nice.
Okay. PGI canals.
Big snook. A lot of snook starting to cooperate in there during the daytime, and a few guys fishing at night. And then there's been a handful of juvenile tarpon around, and of course still lots of black drum cooperating back in there. Everyone's snook light is all lit up in there now, so a lot of people are excited about looking at their aquariums, because for months they thought it was broken, and now all of a sudden they're like, oh wait a minute, I can see all the way to the bottom now.
Isn't it funny how when the water clears up, I've had snook lights out and behind the house, and it looks like it's about a 2 foot little thing of white.
Yeah.
In the summer, and then all of a sudden the rain stops and water starts clearing up, and it's literally about 15 foot of light.
That's crazy. And that's, I think 2 foot is even giving it credit, but
oh yeah, a little tiny spot of light there.
15 feet is amazing. I mean, it's just amazing how much glow those things put out.
And Gilcrest Pier.
Some jacks and some snook right along the seawall there. Other than that, nothing else. Been a little quiet.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef is the next place we're going to be talking about as we prep for our next spot, thinking Alligator Creek Reef. Reef. Alligator Creek Reef. 1 mile. Concrete Reef. That one.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
Some Spanish mackerel on the southern end of it. And then I've heard of a few mangrove snapper up more towards the northern end of it. Other than that, it's still been pretty quiet out there. But at least it's finally a little bit of a report compared to what it's been all summer.
I was going to say, that was a big report compared to most of what we've been getting.
A gentleman was telling me yesterday, he's like, I remember 2, 3, 4 years ago, it used to be amazing, but the last 2 years have been tough. And I'm like, well, lots of rain last year. This year, I don't have really a reason. Because, I mean, last year we were at flood stage in April and then stayed pretty much wet all summer long. So I get why that kind of blew out early. And then this year, I don't have really an answer for them. So I'm like, I'm not really sure.
Has to do with food.
Yeah.
If those fish load up on there and then there's really nothing to eat, too much fresh water or this or that or one thing or another, no food, no fish.
Yeah.
Because why else would you hang out at a reef?
Yeah. True.
Okay. Deep holes in the harbor.
Just Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish, and a couple of incidental sharks, some black tips, and small bull sharks. The weird part is where did all the tarpon go? That's the one that's got me completely bewildered.
All right. What are the bass hitting on?
Shiners. Shiners have been the number one thing, but we've had a lot of guys buying those prop baits or whopper ploppers. And then frogs have still been kind of a seller, but they're starting to slow down a little bit. And lizards seem to be starting to pick back up again a little bit more. I think we're in that little weird funk where guys are kind of saying, well, it's drying out quick. What do I need to try this week? And kind of experimenting at this point.
Anything else you can think of that right on here?
Not really. Been a little wonky on the bass. Guys are all over the map on it. I think it's just drying out so quick, they just are like, hey, what am I doing?
Gotcha. Alright. Okay. Let's see if I can find this. Right. Even though I don't think we're going to be able to do much with it, I still got to find it so we can still put it up.
Yeah, it's not going to look too good. Have you ever seen this?
Any tarpon around there, Austin?
I have
than any other way.
There's a few around Little Gasparilla Pass, but they're spotty. Okay. Just a few.
Yeah.
Austin's saying some up around Little Gasparilla Pass, so I just yellow dotted that.
Yeah. Up by you, there's a couple just in the mornings, but they're just hodgepodged.
The jubies aren't even here, really.
Mm-mm.
Is there any tarpon anywhere?
None. I mean, disappeared.
I seen like 10 Little Gasparilla Thursday around there, just scattered.
All right, but outside of Little Gasparilla Pass, you haven't seen anything. So that's it for the tarpon report, huh?
Yeah.
Been all over it.
3-4 weeks now like this. It's just horrible.
That's weird.
I don't know. I haven't even had... One guy ran up to Tampa to go look for him, and he didn't find anything up there except for a couple of fish.
Hmm.
Where did all those fish just disappear to?
Africa.
Yeah, right? Africa would be a good one.
Yeah, Africa.
Back to Brazil, back to Sierra Leone. They just disappeared quick.
Maybe a few down in the Marquesas.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of little ones down there in the 40-pound range. A guy fishing down in the Everglades down all the way to Key Largo, and he's catching a lot of 40 to 60-pounders. Yeah, we're recording. Jump in here.
Yeah, we're literally, we were just finishing up the fishing report. We're on the last couple seconds of it here. If I can find them, right there it is.
Just odd the way they just disappeared. I can't remember of a season where the fall just, the rain ended and so did the tarpon that quick, like a light switch.
Like a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one day we had tarpon, next day we didn't. It was just bada bing, bada boom. Here you go. No, you can't.
The crazy thing is there was a lot of them, and then none
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
So yeah,
like
there was.
They didn't like slowly thin out like they usually do to where you can go out there and still hook one here, one there. It just all nothing.
Yeah, what Austin was saying was that, you know, you were going out and there was just literally thousands of tarpon yeah. everywhere. And the next day you went out and there was none. And we're used to seeing the numbers of tarpon slowly reduce, you know, as time goes by. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then all of a sudden, but nope. This time they just disappeared. And yeah. No idea why.
Yeah, so. It's a little strange. I haven't ever seen this, to be honest.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the weirder years that we've ever come across.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened or why it's happening or anything else.
Consider myself a little better than average with the tarpon scenario, and this one is definitely a first.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure everything loads here. It's a big flash of light on one of the monitors up there, one of the camera monitors. We have cameras out front, cameras out back, cameras on the side. We have cameras freaking everywhere.
Was Vinny?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. We have a resident ghost. His name is Vinny.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes any sense. So, I guess it's time for this. That is the end of this week's fishing report. Not nice. That it was that much to listen to anyway, but there's a lot of fish around.
It's amazing. I like it.
All right, well, say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Penny Youngman lives in Port Charlotte and is alive and well. All right, we'll catch you guys on the next fishing report. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.